They got a little sniff in the second quarter, and away they go.
You are Locked On Fantasy Basketball, your daily podcast on fantasy basketball. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Fantasy Basketball podcast brought to you by Basketball Monster. My name is Josh Lloyd and as always you can find me on Twitter at @RedRock_Beeble. We're going to look back today at Thursday's two games. We're going to preview a massive 12-game Friday as well. So
let's get to it.
Quick apologies to the people who do watch this show on YouTube. I recorded yesterday's show, but for some reason, the sound disappeared. I was trying to get rid of that audio hum. I recorded two test videos, and they worked fine. There was no hum. The audio was fine. And then when I went to record the actual show, apparently it just didn't work. So I don't know why that was the case. I do apologize. The video went up, wasted my time uploading it, but it was there. The video was done. You just couldn't hear me talk, so I took it down. But hopefully, again, and if it didn't work, you're not going to be seeing this video anyway. But hopefully this one is all ready to go and we are back in business. A couple of things I do want to mention. I know I've had this argument or this discussion many, many times, but I've gotten into it a couple of times. Not necessarily arguments, but disagreements on Twitter with a couple of people the last couple of days. Trade vetoes. I'm going to say it here once again for the last time what my opinion is on it. Trade vetoes should never be decided by league vote. Never, ever, ever, in my opinion, should they ever be decided on league vote. You shouldn't be voting, oh, that's going to make this guy better, and he's my opponent, and yeah, therefore, no, that trade won't go through. The only time a trade shouldn't go through is in the case of collusion or cheating. And people bring up that, if you're not taking value into account, what if someone says they're going to trade Kevin Durant for The Undertaker, Dwayne Dedman, and they say, oh, but I want blocks. That's cheating. There's no reasonable argument you could make for that trade to make sense for you. And it's cheating in the sense that you are giving away the league and you are unduly helping someone else. That's cheating. That's collusion. That doesn't need the other person to say, give me Kevin Durant. If you say, hey, you want Kevin Durant, I'll have your worst player. That's cheating. And that should be vetoed by the commission. All trades should just be processed by the commissioner, but he keeps an eye out for something that looks a bit weird. And if it's something that's debatable, you let it go through. It's not up to you to determine overall value of a trade. People will value people differently. Things can change pretty quickly. Unless it's something completely egregious, I let it go through. I don't believe in trade or league members voting on trades whatsoever. I dislike any league. And I am in one league that's like that. I don't like it at all. Any of leagues that I set up don't have that rule. It's not up to other league members to determine how teams make their trades. It's just not, in my opinion. So that is my last word on that. So often I'll tweet out, like, that's a massive steal in a trade, and someone goes, oh, that should be vetoed. Like, no, it shouldn't. No, if you're able to get a steal of a trade off someone else, and the trade in question today was Miles Turner for Eric Bledsoe, if you're able to do that, you're able to do it. We're not here to legislate against stupidity. I don't think that's the case. Oh, it ruins the league for everyone else. Well, you should have got in there and traded and gotten Miles Turner off that guy as well. That's my opinion on it. Many people will disagree and they'll be like, no, you got to have league votes. I am completely the other direction. You do not have to have league votes and you shouldn't have league votes. It should all be one commissioner who will then, in the case of a weird trade, go, well, what's going on here? Like, what is your possible reason for this trade? And most times you can tell if someone's just being a cockhead about it and trying to screw things up for everyone else. It is pretty obvious to tell. And in that case, you veto it, you kick their ass out of the league. It's pretty straightforward if that is indeed what is happening. The other thing I do want to talk about, and I'll talk about it now in this seasonal part of the show before we get to DFS, is the return of Rashawn Holmes, which is going to happen tomorrow. Everyone's really, really, really interested in going the old reach around on Rashawn, and that's fine. Now, if you go back to the stuff that I talked about before or when he was drafted, I was super big on him. I think me and Mark Roberts did a podcast talking about him, and he was one of the guys, the draft, and we were really super high on what Rashawn Holmes can do. I spoke about him a lot last season as well. This is nothing against me thinking he is not a good player. I think he's a fantastic fantasy player. I was saying it all last season. He is a better player than Jahlil Okafor and should have been getting minutes ahead of Jahlil Okafor. It took towards the end of the season for that to start to happen. It's nothing to do with me saying that he is a bad player. But owning him this year in 12-team leagues, the upside is only if Embiid gets injured. And even then, that's not a 100% guarantee. We've already seen an article come out from Keith Pompey today saying that Amir Johnson is going to be the backup center and Holmes will play minutes depending on how Amir looks. Now, that could change at some point and then Holmes could jump and be the second string center. But in this case, he is the third string center. Joel Embiid is playing 30 minutes a night. He played 30 minutes a night last game and he no longer has minutes restrictions. And that doesn't mean he's playing 36 a night, but I think thinking that 29 to 31 at this point for Embiid is realistic. So that leaves us with, if my math is correct, 17 to 19 minutes at the backup center position available for Rishaun Holmes and Amir Johnson, who has played exclusively as a center this season. Now, 19 minutes exclusively for Holmes puts him maybe as a top 120 guy, maybe, if everything goes right. Now, he is a very, very good player and a really productive guy. Maybe he can be a top 100 guy in 18 minutes or 19 minutes. He's just not going to get 19 minutes a night most nights. Now, you can say Embiid is injury prone. Yes, you can. But I think holding on to someone who's going to be a player that might be outside the top 200 for 2 months, hoping for an Embiid injury, it's not the smartest strategy, in my opinion, especially, again, when he is currently Rishaun Holmes, is the third string center. That might change, and it probably will, because he probably is better than Amir Johnson. But Amir Johnson is the backup center. They like what he can do veteran leadership-wise. They like the steady presence he provides on the court. They like what Holmes can do athletically. And a Holmes-Simmons pick and roll is going to be real exciting to watch. And we saw that in Summer League a couple of years ago. It is going to be interesting to watch how that goes down. But and people say, oh, well, Holmes will play backup power forward as well. Last season, Rishaun Holmes played exactly 14 minutes next to Jahlil Okafor. He played exactly 0 minutes next to Joel Embiid and exactly 0 minutes next to Nerlens Noel. So his stint as a power forward was 14 total minutes last season. Now, that could change. But your power forwards this year, Bob Cove's playing at the four. You can say Ben Simmons is a point guard or whatever, but if he's a point guard, that means that Covington plays at power forward, because then you have Redick and then you have Šarić on the court also. Then you've got Bayless and you've got McConnell who comes in there as well. So Simmons might be a point guard, but then he will share the court a lot of the time with TJ McConnell and with Jared Bayless. And that pushes Redick to small forward. It pushes Covington to the four. And you've got Šarić getting those minutes there as well. So Is he going to get minutes at power forward? I would think it's pretty unlikely at this point. Now, if he gets 26 minutes a night, it's a smashing. It's a home run. But it is going to require, for those sort of minutes, it is going to require Embiid to be hurt. Now, there'll be nights when Embiid rests on back-to-backs, which, again, I don't think will last the entire season. I think the Sixers have got 13 more back-to-backs this season. I think you might have him resting three of those, maybe four of them. I don't think it'll be an ongoing thing for him. And maybe if he does play the back-to-backs, he might play 25 a night. And that gives Holmes an extra couple of minutes. But this is not an absolute slam dunk that Holmes is playing 24 minutes a night straight out of the gate. It's just not. It just won't happen. He won't do it tomorrow. I can 99.9% guarantee you he will not play 20-plus minutes in tomorrow's game unless something weird goes down. He's the third string center, and I think we're getting a little bit hyped about what he did last season, and rightfully so, much like people got hyped on what Dario Šarić did down the stretch last season, and how's that gone so far? Lots of other factors to consider in Philadelphia this year. By all rights, Holmes should be the backup center, but even in a backup center role, I don't think that the upside is all that high. Embiid is playing minutes. Now, plenty of you will disagree with me, and you'll be all aboard Holmes. That is my case on him, and I could very, very easily be wrong on this. Clearly, because I think it, I don't think that I'm wrong, but I could very easily be wrong. I can see how things could change. And he leapfrogs Johnson and Embiid goes down. And then I look dumb. But I think that making a play for someone in the hopes that someone gets injured, it's not really a smart way to go in a daily changes situation. Weekly changes, rotisserie, sure. By all means, you can just sit him on the bench. And in that case, especially if you own Embiid, hey, automatic plug-in, bang, you're done. Daily changes, it's a little bit of a different situation. And I do think that watch, if you are going to add him or if he's in your IR spot, don't automatically activate him. You can just keep him there. And I know that will prevent you from making other additions, but just see what happens. Oh, do I have to drop someone to activate Holmes? Let's just wait. Let's just see what happens over the next week if you can avoid that, if you can avoid making a move, which you might not be able to do because some people are addicted to moves and addicted to trades, as I've mentioned plenty of times on this podcast. I will get into that a little bit later on when we're talking about the Sixers in the DFS portion of the show. Now, let's get into this and talk about the monstrous line of the night from Thursday's games. And it is Steph Curry, who had 21, 8, and 4. He had three triples. He hit He hit three triples. He had three steals. He was 7 of 13 from the field. He was a perfect 4 of 4 from the line. He's the third-ranked player so far this season. He's averaging 27, 5, and 6 with four triples and 1.8 steals and shooting 50, 95, or 50, 40, and 95. Crazy, crazy numbers from Steph Curry. A true shooting of 69%.
Giggity!
Look, he's been great. He slipped to like 6 or 7 in plenty of drafts, and he's obviously exceeding that value at the moment, putting up some really good numbers. The efficiency's way up. His aggression with the shot is you know, looking really good as well. But he's not even taking as many shots as what he did last season. He's just hitting them at a supremely high level. So Steph is your monstrous line of the night for Thursday's games. Let's move on now to the waiver wire line of the night from the same game. Kyle Anderson of the San Antonio Spurs, 16-7-4 for Anderson, a steal, 2 blocks, 5 of 8 from the field, and 6 of 6 from the free throw line. Anderson's a guy that always had this tantalizing fantasy potential. We talked about that when he came out of the draft as a small forward to be a facilitator to get steals, but he's never really been able to kick on too much in the NBA. A lot of that's due to the team that he's on and the players who are around him. But with Kawhi Leonard out to start this season, he's shown a little bit. He's the 161st ranked player so far, but top 100 over the last week, averaging 8, 6.5, and 3 with 0.8 steals and 0.8 blocks. Now, Kawhi, we don't really know. Popovich said he could be back tomorrow. He could be back in 3 weeks. I would lean more towards the 3 weeks than anything. So you're going to have a level of value here for Anderson. He's more of a 14-team league guy, but you could stream him in, especially on a day like today, a perfect stream situation for Kyle Anderson. But in your standard leagues, he's not going to be a must-hold sort of a guy. But it was an impressive performance from Anderson, and he is available on many, many waiver wires. His ownership on Yahoo is like 5%. The young gun of the night goes to the future MVP of the NBA, and that is Kyle Kuzma of the LA Lakers. 29 minutes for Kuzma, 22 points, and in almost typical Kuzma fashion, nothing else. 3 rebounds, 1 triple, 1 block, but he was supremely efficient. He went 10 of 17 from the field for 59%, only 1 of 2 from the line, which seems to be this weird thing with him where he can hit shots from the field but can't hit them from the line, and he was only 1 of 5 from 3, so that field goal percentage could have been much higher. Now, Kuzma is the 87th ranked player so far this season, averaging 15 and 5 on 54% shooting. So his value, and that his best category is his field goal percentage. So I do fear that that is going to drop off. But with Larry Nance Jr. breaking his hand today, and I would anticipate that Nance is going to be out for 4 weeks, at least 4 to 5 weeks probably with that broken hand, that's going to mean that Kuzma, in my opinion, will start, and he will play 30 minutes a night. It's also going to mean more minutes for Julius Randle and probably some more minutes for Brooke Lopez as well, because it's going to push Randle away from backup center, more into backup power forward, so those extra minutes will probably go Lopez's way, especially given the way he played against Portland. As for Kuzma, go and add him. I don't anticipate 54% from the field sticking, but it happened in summer league. It happened in preseason, so maybe he just is the greatest shooter of all time. I tend to think that won't be the case, and we're looking at him settling in at high 40s, and that will drop a level of his production. But his minutes are going to go up over this next month or so, over the month of November with Nance out, and that does give him a level of value. But again, we look at what he does. It is very, very concentrated into the points and field goal percentage category. And if the field goal percentage category drops, then his points drop, and then his value really does, or really could, suffer a significant drop-off. The dud of the night, there weren't too many duds, to be honest. It's a little unfair to give one out, but here we go. Julius Randle is the dud of the night. He had just 8 and 6 with a block, no threes, no assists, no steals, 4 of 6 from the field, and no free throws. You know that I am not the biggest Julius Randle fan out there. Me and Matt Smith have some back and forwards about what his value actually is. But given how few minutes he's played this year, just 19 minutes a game, he is the 150th ranked player, averaging 11 and 5. With a block a game, it's coming on ridiculous efficiency. I can talk about Kyle Kuzma's efficiency, and I do, but Randle's shooting 64% from the field, something that there is almost zero chance of that happening. He has improved over his first 3 seasons, 43% in his first year, 49% last season, but to go from 49% to 64%, probably not going to hold at that sort of a level, especially now as he moves away from playing center, moves down to the power forward spot a little bit more. Expect that to drop off. But also, the 19 minutes a game that he's been playing, they're going to increase as well, especially during this period while Nance is out. And he also is a must-own guy at this point. I don't think he's going to be able to live up to the top 75 ADP that he had, as I was pretty vocal about throughout the offseason. But he is going to get that extra opportunity. One thing that's notable also about Randall this season, he had a lot of assists last year, 3.6 per game. That's not happening this year. He's at 1.5 per game. And yes, the minutes are lower, but if we look on a per 36 basis, he's gone from 4.5 assists down to 2.8, which was, I guess, a little bit more. That's something I expected with Lonzo Ball arriving. That could definitely change. And the last few games, he's been a little bit better in that realm. But it wasn't the best night from Randall. He's still owned, I think, 82% of leagues. And if he is available and he was dropped in your league, go and add him now, because you will be getting... you'll be getting some value out of him over this, at least over this next month. All right, let's look at these games now in a bit more detail. There were two of them. Golden State beat the San Antonio Spurs. The Spurs had a big, big lead to start this game off, but the Warriors just they just really cracked on and ended up getting the victory really comfortably by 20 points. In the end, Durant was great. Clay was great with 24 and 27 points between them. Durant also had 3 blocks. Draymond had 16, 5, and 7, and really nothing else on this Warriors team. But two interesting things rotation-wise. Pat McCaw, Steve Kerr said he will be the backup shooting guard moving forward for now. So that puts Nick Young out of the rotation. Nick Young and Omri Caspi played garbage time only in this game. So McCaw's going to have a bit of value. And Jordan Bell looks like he's the best center on this team pretty much. 2 points, 5 rebounds, 2 steals and a block. And I reckon he's starting by Christmas. And that's a bold call, I know that. But Zaza Pachulia looks bad this year. David West looks pretty good, but I don't think he can handle the starting role. And JaVale really hasn't done too much. So I can see a situation when Bell starts. It might mean 18 minutes. It might mean 15 minutes. And it's not going to be really fantasy relevant, but it is a situation to watch. And for Dynasty Leagues, I think he's a top 100 guy. In the next 4 years, I think he will become a top 100 player in that time frame. So someone to watch. His steal and block rate is incredible. Super fun to watch as well. Really, really solid rebounder. So, yeah, an interesting performance from him. On the Spurs side of things, LaMarcus Aldridge kept it cracking, 24 and 10. And he also had the Richie Beno.
2 for 2, 2, 2.
Not too often that LaMarcus will get a Richie Beno, so you savor that one. He also took 22 shots, hit just 8 of them. His sell high window is still very, very clearly open, at least for the next few weeks until Kawhi comes back. If you can, someone tweeted me today that they traded him away for Blake Griffin. I really like that trade. Now, Aldridge has been putting up good numbers, but when Kawhi comes back, he's not going to be taking more than double the amount of shots as of every other player. He had 22 in this one. The next highest was Dan Green, who took 10. That's not going to be the distribution of shots. You'll see him drop pretty significantly, I think, in his field goal attempts, and that's going to reduce LaMarcus's value. Powell had 11 and 6. So the fact that he played 26 minutes against the Warriors is probably the most impressive part. While Green had 8, 3, and 4 with a pair of blocks, and Rudy Gay only saw 18 minutes. They did make a change to the starting lineup with Pat Mills starting over DeJounte Murray. 20 minutes for Murray, 4, 6, and 2. Not a 12-team league guy. Tone Park is going to come back in December. But Murray had that really hot start to the year, but he just isn't doing enough for me in a 12-team league. Well, I don't think Mills needs to be owned either. He had just 6, 1, and 3 with 2 triples in 28 minutes. I don't know if this change will be permanent, but it doesn't really bother me because neither of these guys, I don't believe, are 12-team league players. Manu returned after his rest game as well, while Brandon Paul, still getting big minutes, but missed all 6 of his shots. 21 minutes for 1 point. He will, while Joffrey Laverne is out, which is probably another 3 or so games, Paul will continue to get those 20 minutes or so. While Laverne and Leonard are both out, actually. He'll get those minutes, but it's more of a deeper league type situation. The Lakers and the Blazers. Brook Lopez, still good. Who knew? 29 minutes for Brook, 27 points, only 3 boards, but he had a 3, he had a block, he was 60% from the field, 89% from the line on 9 attempts. And again, I think that this injury to Nance will open up some minutes from Lopez. Randall pushes back to the 5 or to the 4 a little bit more, and Lopez has to play those minutes. They don't seem keen on giving Ivica Zubac minutes. Andrew Bogut was out with a back problem in this one. So I think you will see Lopez's minutes come up. It's great timing for him to play well in the situation where in the next game there's going to be more minutes available. So Lopez owners, you should just exhale slightly. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, 14, 3, and 2 with 2 steals. That's a real standard KCP line. Lonzo Ball, just putrid, 0 points, 3 rebounds, 4 assists, a steal, and 2 blocks. So this is the sort of thing that I talked about when drafting him. He is not going to score in big amounts. And I remember getting into an argument with someone who said, he's going to score like at least 17, 18 points a game. Just ludicrous, unrealistic expectations. 4 assists is nice, a steal is nice, 2 blocks is nice. He was fine out on the court, he had a really good plus-minus. But that's not great from fantasy, especially if you did go early on him and reach a little bit. The points were going to be a hard thing to deal with. Brandon Ingram, inefficient, but 14 points, 3 rebounds, 3 assists, and 2 steals. While Jordy Clarkson, he had 14 points with 4 assists in 22 minutes, playing as the backup point guard behind Ball and a little bit alongside him, but not really too much. I don't believe that Clarko is a 12-team league must-own. Yusuf Nurkic, his owners definitely had tight sphincters, but it's been relaxed just a little bit. They've just eased off the pressure somewhat. 28-5-5 for Nurk, 3 steals in 29 minutes. Got some early foul trouble, but still killed it. Lillard had 32-6-5, including a ridiculous game-winning 3, while CJ had 22-2-5. And at one point, McCollum had a lot of points, and Reggie Miller said, oh yeah, he's got these points. It might have been like 18 points, but he's been really inefficient. He's 4 from 10. Like, that's not that inefficient. I know it's 40%. He hits one more of those shots, and he's at 50%. It's not like he's going 6 from 24. Like, that... It was 4 from 10. I don't look at it and go, oh man, McCollum killing it with the inefficiency. Man, really shit. I don't look at it like that. It was just a weird thing. But you know what? It's Reggie Miller, so it's probably one of the more sensical things he actually said. Ed Davis, 7-8 with a block. Now, people ask me, with Al-Farouq Aminu out, Josh, Ed Davis going to get more run? No. Ed Davis is playing exclusively as the backup center to Nurkic, so it doesn't really change his minutes too much. What it could do is, if we were seeing backup center minutes for Zach Collins or Caleb Swanigan or the return of Noel Vonleh, they probably won't get those backup center minutes now. That will all go to Davis, but he's not going to start absorbing power forward minutes, and he didn't in this one. He's still a rebounding beast and could be streamed in for that. Had a block and high field goal percentage, so there is some value. Mo Harkless, 4-5 with a steal and a block. Defensive stats streamer, that's how I view him. While Zach Collins started the second half with Vonleh in foul trouble. 11 minutes for Collins, 1 board, while Vonleh had 2 blocks in his 15 minutes, but he is set for an increased workload with Aminu set to miss at least a couple of games, possibly a little bit more. All right, that's all the action that we had over in the NBA on Thursday. I'm going to now transition to talk DFS for Friday's 12 games. We had more people send in some music, so shout out to everyone who has done that. Now, yesterday's one was Justin Mayhew. Today's one is Anthony Visca. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly, Anthony. But Anthony Visca has, and the band is just called Visca. He has sent in some songs. This song is called Game. So I'll be back in a sec to talk DFS.
Tally on your wall that you can't see. You're caught in an ambush. Are you ready for this? Are you ready? Let the game begin. So show me love is a game we play. We don't lose. How stuck in
going to talk DFS. Thank you to Visca for that song Game. They sent me some other songs, and two other bands have sent me some music as well. But remember, if you do want music on the podcast, I'm going to have a whole library of different songs to put on here. Send me an email, redrockfantasybasketball@gmail.com. Let's talk the perfect DFS lineup from Thursday's 2-game slate on FanDuel. It was Steph at 43.6, Dame at 44.7, Clay at 35.6, and KCP at 24.6. Kyle Anderson had 39.9, Iguodala 22.3, LaMarcus Aldridge 49, future MVP Kyle Kuzma 26.6, and Yusuf Nurkic 47.5 for a total of 333.8, and that cost the full $60,000. On DraftKings, Jordan Clarkson 21.25, Anderson at 37.75, Kuzma 27.25, Aldridge 49, Nurkic 45.25, Clay had 37.75, KD had 47.5, and Brook Lopez had 33.75 for a total of 299.5, and that cost $49,500. And a massive, massive shout out to Kevin Durant for wearing a Jake the Snake Roberts t-shirt to his post-game press conference today. Brilliant. Absolutely fantastic. If some people are going to call you a snake, man, own it. Just own it and wear your Jake the Snake t-shirts. Fantastic. Loved it. Loved it. Loved it. You can say whatever you want about him and everything that he did, and people get a little bit too over emotional about it. But that t-shirt, man. You are not that you ever left my good books, but you are firmly in there. Just for wearing a Jake the Snake t-shirt, that is all it requires. Let's talk DFS, 12 games. So, yeah, 12 game slates are similar to 2 game slates to me, because it's just weird things that can happen. You're going to need really high scores. I think in cash, it's fine in a cash game. You can have a usual volume there. In GPPs, it is a little bit harder to really, you know, get your money going, just because of the weird variance levels that can happen. So I tend to approach it like, you know, really small slates, 2s and 3s, 12s and 13s. Limit it just a little bit. In your 5 to 9 game slate, that's really your sweet spot of the sort of value that you're trying to get there. All right, let's look at this. What do we call it? Yeah, game. That's it. The first game is the Chicago Bulls and the Orlando Magic. The Magic are favored by 8, and the total is 205 points for this one. Lord Alfred Payton has been upgraded to questionable. DJ Augustine is out with his hamstring problem. Payton should be, he's going to be a game time call. Now, if he is out, then Shelvin Mack will get the start, and he'll be worth a look. And you'll see more minutes for guys like John Simmons, Terry Ross, and probably Aaron Aflalo, as Fournier and Simmons do a little bit more of the point guard duties in that backup role, which means more minutes open up on the wings for those other guys. Let's talk point guards here. If Payton plays at 6,800, he's in a really good spot against the Bulls. It'll be a tournament type play, but he would be someone to have a look at in a GPP situation. As for the Bulls point guard, Chris Dunn, we don't know if he's going to start, but he is at 5,300, while Jaren Grant is at 4,900. I'd feel much better about using Dunn, who's looked, you know, strong in terms of racking up stats. His ball handling and turnovers, not so good. But at 5,300, he's averaging 27 in the 2 games he's played so far. And if he starts and gets 30, then he should smash through that. So I think that he is worth a look, even though he is listed as a shooting guard. For whatever reason, that will change. As for Mack, he's at 5,000. So they've preemptively raised his price. You get a little bit of value for him if Lord Alfred is out. The other shooting guards, apart from Dunny, Terry Ross at 4,800. I think if Payton is out, Ross then becomes a GPP type of a play. Justin Holiday at 5,600. He's going to just jack as many shots as he wants. That's really tough to rely upon that in cash. But in tournaments, if they go in, for whatever reason, because they just never do, but if they do go in, then he's looking at a 30-point outburst, and that could really return nice value. David Nwaba probably going to start. 4,100 for Nwaba. 22.5 in his first game as a starter. I think that's fine, and I would be okay with considering him a cash play if he is named the starter. John Simmons at 5,200. I think at 5,200, John Simmons is going to have a level of value there. While Denzel at 4,000, Paul Zipsa, Mario Hezonja, not really interested there. At power forward, Lauri Markkanen is at 6,800. I think it's a good spot for Markkanen. He had 42 in the last game. I think that he is fine to use there, as is big as a Gordon. But he is at $8,000 now, as so that's a little bit of a concern, that price. Against the Bulls, there is an opportunity for him to really lay the smack down on them. So I do like him. I'd probably lean more tournaments there with Azza. John Isaac, really hard to get involved with him. Nikola Vucevic, 7,500. He was poor in the last game. Real bounce back opportunity here. You should be looking at 30 plus, probably 35 plus here for Vuc. While Robin Lopez at 6,200, I think that's a strong cash play. Actually, I think he's going to get 30. He's getting his looks pretty much every night. I feel pretty good about Robin Lopez, and I feel the opposite, whatever the opposite of good is, about Bismack Biyombo. The opposite of good is bad, Josh. You should know that word. All right, let's look at DraftKings to see how this all shakes out. There's quite a few guys that I like here, and I like them for cash and GPP. Vuc, Terry Ross, Chrissy Dunn, Markkanen, Big As Gordon, Nwaba, Rob Lopez, John Simmons, Fournier. In fact, on DraftKings as a total, there's a lot more value on DraftKings than there is on FanDuel. So expect some pretty decently high scores on DraftKings during this Friday slate of games. Let's move on to the next game now. We're going to talk about the Cleveland Cavaliers and the Washington Wizards. No spread currently out for this one. We don't know the status of Otto Porter, so I imagine that's the reason. We know that Tristan Thompson is out for a month with a calf strain, so that's likely going to move Jay Crowder back into the starting lineup and give him a boost in his minutes. If Porter is out, Markieff Morris is going to be back and playing in this one. But if Porter's out, that gives a real boost to Kelly Oubre, and a little bit of a boost to Jason Smith. That'd be the situation we're looking at there. But yeah, Markieff is back, but he's going to be playing limited minutes. So we do have to do have to, you know, I guess focus on that, the fact that he's just not going to be seeing a huge amount of playing time. I think he's going to be limited to about 16 minutes. At point guard, Johnny Wall, 9,900. Pretty good matchup against the decrepit backcourt of Rose and Wade. I think you know, we're seeing people torch the Cavs on a pretty nightly basis, so I think Johnny Wall at 9,900 is a strong, expensive point guard to use. As the other side of things, Derek Rose at 5,000. I think his GPP upside is okay there. Shooting guards, we've got Dwayne Wade, 4,500. I will have nothing to do with that. J.R. Smith is a tournament-only guy, while Brad Beal is 8,000. He dropped 49 in that last game against Phoenix, and it's not like the Cavs' defense is all that much better than the Suns. So I think at $8,000, Brad is someone that you can pay attention to, while Kyle Korver is just a tournament-type player. At small forward, LeBronald, 10,600.
LeBron James.
I think it's fine. We've seen him have big games against the Wizards plenty of times. He has 60-point upside clearly here, probably 65 for LeBron. He's going to have to play a lot of minutes. You know, if he comes out with 40 minutes, I wouldn't be surprised. I think this is a good opportunity, especially in cash, for LeBron. Oubre at 4,300 gets a significant boost if Porter is out. Otherwise, I'd probably end up fading him. The other guy you can have a look at,
my name is Jeff
Green. He is at 4,100. He played better than what Jay Crowder did in the last game. He had 24 points in that one. So at 4,100, there might be something there. But if you're relying on Jeff Green, you're probably not going to go that well. Jay Crowder's at 4,500. I wouldn't trust that in cash at all. In a tournament, sure, I would. And as for Porter at 7,000, I always feel he's too highly priced. I know I continually say that, but I just feel he's too high. At center, we've got Kevin Love, who is at 8,100 for Lovey. Hopefully get some more minutes here. I think it's a good opportunity for him, but I'd lean more tournament. While Yan Mihinmi and Marcin Gortat, not really much that I'm seeing with those guys as a positive sort of thing. On DraftKings, I've got Love, Wall, Beal, and LeBron as probably the better plays here for cash and for tournaments. I like Derek Rose as not a bad cash option as well, while Jay Crowder, Kyle Korver are more tournament guys, and Marcin Gortat at 59. I think he's a decently strong cash play on DraftKings, but maybe not with a huge amount of upside for a tournament. The next game up, we're looking at the Milwaukee Bucks and the Detroit Pistons. There was the rumor of the Eric Bledsoe to Detroit trade that is now officially dead. And as most of the time when we hear about these trades, they are dead. Just remember that. That one is officially dead now. So I don't think we'll be seeing Bledsoe in Detroit anytime soon. The Pistons are favored by one, and the total here is 205 points. The tackle box, John Lua, sprained his ankle in the last game. He is considered doubtful. So that's going to open up some minutes in the backup center position, maybe for Boban, maybe for Eric Morland, more likely for Anthony Tolliver and Henry Allinson. Though they're the guys who I think will be the major beneficiaries there. At point guard, Malcolm Brogdon, 5,700. I really like Brogo there. I think that's strong for cash with tournament upside. Well, Ish Smith at 38 on the Detroit side, not happening. Reggie Jackson, 6,400. Against anyone that wasn't Milwaukee, I'd look at Jacko there at 6,400, but I'm not really feeling it in this sort of a matchup. At shooting guard, we've got Avery Bradley at 55, the Birdcage. He has struggled a little bit this season. It was always, I believe, going to be a decline in his value hitting across from Boston this season. That was just the way that I saw it. It's clearly been the case so far. That doesn't mean he can't bounce back, though. I think that there is value here with significant upside in this game. While Tone Snell is a tournament-type player at 3,700. Now, Chrissy Middleton went off in the last one, dropped almost 60. He's at 7,700, so just feels like it's a little bit too high for Chris. He did used to play for the Pistons if you want to buy into revenge games, but I just think it's probably a little bit high for Chris Middleton here. At small forward, Yanni is at 12,000. That is fine for cash. I'm not really sure the tournament upside is there at 12,000. He's been a little bit down, averaging just 47 across the last three, which at 12,000 is not really working, but I think his ownership might be decent in cash that you could get away with it. I personally would probably fade him, but I can understand wanting to use him. Stan Johnson at 4,500 is more of a tournament guy, as is Mirza Teletovic at 3,200. He knocked down 5 triples in the last game and had 17 points, and at 3,200, that's all that you need him to do. At power forward, John Henson at 5,000, the Muppet, averaging 27 across the last three. He's going to be getting some minutes at $5,000. I think it's fine for cash and for tournaments. While Toby Harris at 6,700 feels like a decently strong cash play as well. At center, Thon McCur, 3,200, only in a tournament, and I have very little confidence there. While Andre Drummond at 9,300, probably a bit high for Drummond, to be honest. This is a situation where I'd look at him as a tournament guy. He could easily abuse McKerr and the Muppet John Henson. So we'll see how that goes, but I wouldn't have my full level of trust in Andre Drummond, especially at that salary. I've been really impressed with Drummond this season, but not at that price. Some tournament guys that I like on DraftKings, we've got Stan Johnson, Reggie Jackson, the Birdcage, Avery Bradley, Tone Snell, and Mirza Teletovic. Whereas cash guys, Brogo, Drummond, I think is more of a cash play on DraftKings at 8,200. The Muppet John Henson, Giannis Antetokounmpo, Toby Harris, and Chris Middleton is a little bit more valuable on DraftKings considering he is at 7,200. Let's go on to the next one now. We've got the Indiana Pacers and the Philadelphia 76ers. No spread currently because we don't know the status of a couple of players. It appears like Miles Turner won't play. He is listed as doubtful, while JJ Redick is listed as probable, so he will probably play. So I assume Vegas will have their spread out soon for this one. At point guard, TJ McConnell is at 5,700, a decent price hike for TJ, but he's averaging over 30 over the last three games in points, only 28 minutes per game. 5,700, he can contribute in multiple areas. I'm all for that. Corey Joseph and Jared Bayless, not really feeling those guys as reliable players. Well, Daz Collison is at 6,000. Now, he had a real stinker, had that 8-point outing, followed up with a 45-pointer. Which one's the real Daz? Well, I think he was like 10% shooting in one, 90% in the other. So the answer is neither. He's somewhere in the middle, and a 30-point performance is probably the right spot for Daz Collison. So I'd be okay with looking at him as a cash option. At shooting guard, JJ Redick at 45, tournaments for JJ, but it's an interesting spot. He hasn't really produced, but I think this could be an interesting one in an up-tempo game. Vic Oladipo at 7,200, I'm all about Vic there, while the Wawu Cabarro is not really doing it for me. At small forward, Bob Cubs at 6,500. A tournament guy, get hot, hit your 7-3s, get 4 steals, can put up 50s, but could also put up 20, so that makes him a tournament-type player. As is Bojan Bogdanovic, who's been really, really strong lately, so that means a 0-point turd is just around the corner. Domantas Sabonis is at 5,600. His price has dropped by $400, and Turner's not going to play most likely, so smash Sabonis. He had 38 in the last one. He's averaging 39 in his last three. Smash it. That is almost free money, almost. Dario Saric, we don't know if he will remain starting. He is at 3,700, but I'm not getting overly excited. In a GPP, sure, he started the last game, played 20 minutes and had 10 points, 10 FanDuel points. Like, it wasn't a good performance. He's barely put in a good performance this season. But at 3,700, all he needs to do is get to 20, and then some value gets returned. The Deuce Young's at 6,300, killing it, 4 steals in each of the last 2 games. I don't think his minutes are going anywhere. Even when Turner comes back, he'll lose maybe 1 minute, but it won't be a massive, massive drop-off. While Benny Simmons at 9,400 just gets 40 every game. His lowest score in his last 5 games is 41. Just 40 every game for Ben, with a highest of 54. I feel really good about him in cash. While TJ Leaf at 3,200, not much happening for TJ at the moment. At center of the process, Joel Embiid is at 9,300. He just dropped the casual 60 in the last game. And with Turner out, he could give Sabonis some real problems. Now, Sabonis does not have great defensive acumen, so this could be a big one for Joel. I think it's probably a little bit high to rely upon him, but you could easily use him. Rashawn Holmes obviously back, but I just don't see him in his limited minutes as the third string center being worth it, even at 3,300, while Al Jefferson has put up some okay numbers. But in the last game, even with Turner out, he played like 5 minutes, and that was an interesting development to see that go down there for the Pacers. Let's take a look at things on DraftKings. Tournament guys are like Redick, Bob Cub, Jared Bayless, and Bojan Bogdanovic, whereas the other players who are like for cash and tournaments, Embiid at 8,300 is a really strong one on DraftKings. McConnell, Sabonis, Thad, Simo, and Daz Collison also has some cash value over on DraftKings. Let's move on now to the next game. We've got the Houston Rockets and the Atlanta Hawks. The Rockets are favored by 8, and the total is 214 points here. Mike Muscala, Marco Bellinelli, and Dennis Schroeder are all listed as probable. They're listed as probable pretty much every single game, so I wouldn't be too worried there. While Malcolm Delaney is doubtful, I think there's zero chance that Delaney plays in this game with his sprained ankle from the last one. At point guard, Schroeder is at 8,000. I feel strongly about his floor here, and he does have a level of tournament upside, so he's pretty good. If Delaney is out, you might want to take a squeeze at Isaiah Taylor, who's a minimum salary point guard who can get hot, but of course it would be a tournament-only type scenario. Marco Bellinelli at 43 has been a little bit down lately. I think that means an explosion's not far off. So I like him at 4,300. Eric Gordon at 64, just not happening for him at the moment. Well, Jim Harden's at 10,900. Jim's numbers haven't quite been there, but he does have a history of lighting up Atlanta, averaging 60 the last three times that they've played each other. 10,900 for Jim. I feel good about using that. I feel better about using him than, say, Yanni at 12,000. Save that extra $1,100. Kent Bazemore at 58, probably just a little bit high for Kent. At small forward, Trev Ariza, 5,100. I feel pretty strongly about that for cash, but limited upside, while PJ Tucker is not doing it for me. And I really like Taurean Prince at 59. He dropped 43 in the last game and is averaging 36 in his last three. The minutes will be there, up-tempo sort of pace. I'm really good with using Taurean at that one. At power forward, you got Ryan Anderson, always a tournament guy. I should just have a list of guys, always tournaments. Him, Boyan, JJ Redick, always tournament guys. The Baptist John Collins, 5,100, probably a little bit too high for Colo at this point, while Marmute at 41. He had a big game in the last one, so that means not much is probably coming in this one. At centre, Mike Muscala's at 4,000. He's going to be the starting power forward. He should play 20-plus minutes, so there is some upside for a tournament. While Nene at 3,000, he could easily break that value, but you don't want to be in a situation where you're relying on Nene. I also don't want to rely on the Undertaker, Dwayne Dedman, but Clint Capella at 7,700, it just feels like he's going to get 35 every single night. So I think that his floor is pretty decent, even in limited minutes, and this is a super, super matchup for Capella. So I'm really interested to see what he's going to do, and I like him for cash and for tournaments. Over on DraftKings, the tournament guys, Muscala and Ariza. I think Ariza more of a tournament guy on DraftKings, whereas for cash, we've got Schroeder, Bellinelli, Jim Harden, Clint Capella, and Taurean Prince. Of course, Ryan Anderson, always a tournament look as well, no matter what day of the week it is. The next game we'll talk about is the Phoenix Suns. So the streaking Phoenix Suns taking on the New York Knicks. No spread for this one because Kristaps Porzingis. He is currently questionable with an illness. And if he is out, I don't know what the hell they're going to do at power forward. Are they going to run Cantor and Koch out there together? Is it going to be Mick Beasley that comes in? Is Lance Thomas going to play? Are they going to reanimate Mindaugas Kuzminskas to play? I'm just not sure what they're going to do at the forward. Is Doug McDirt going to play his minutes at power forward? I think it's going to be just a mishmash of guys and they'll rotate Thomas, Kuzminskas, Beasley, and O'Quinn in there a little bit at the power forward spot, and that will open up some minutes for a guy like Dwayne Dotson in the backcourt too. So I don't think anyone becomes a 100% must play out of those reserve type of players. But I think Enes Kanter will get a boost just because he'd have to take on a massive, massive offensive load. Him and Timmy Hardaway will be getting all of the usage in New York, and that's a really interesting thing for both of those guys. At point guard, Frankie Ntilikina, 4,500 for Frank. He had 27 in 26 minutes, and I'm more interested in the 26 minutes for Frank in that last game. If that holds at 4,500, he is a tournament play. Jarrett Jack really shit the bed in the last one. He's not that good. He hasn't been good for 4 or 5 years. At least he'd been playing some decent minutes and some decent production, but at 5,000, I'm not interested in that one. Mike James at 5,000. Was shit in the last game, still put up 22 points. I think that James, he's getting those minutes clearly over Tyler Ulis at $5,000. I think he's not bad. I think there is value there in using him, whereas Ulis at 4,000, I'm not feeling a level of confidence. Timmy Hardaway, $6,000. If Porzingis is out, yeah, Hardaway's averaging 42 over the last three. If Porzingis is out, I'd like that for cash. At this point, I lean more tournament, but he's getting it together, while Courtney Lee at 46 also gets a bit of a boost if Porzingis is out, and he would be a decent cash guy with limited upside. Devin Booker I also like in both cash and tournaments. He's at 7,600. If you want to go real deep, Dotson would be a player to look at if Porzingis is out. $3,000, had 14 points in the last one, can very easily come in and hit three or four triples and be an interesting player. So Damian Dotson in your GPPs, in your large field DPPs, not DPPs, GPPs, is interesting. At small forward, TJ Warren crushing it. He is at 6,200, a big price rise for him. I would hope that he continues to get 30-plus minutes given the fact that he is superior to Josh Jackson, but I'm not 100% confident. I would still use him in a cash game and a tournament. Well, Joshy Jackson at 36, probably not for me. Dougie McDirt at 32. He's not even in the GPP-only category that other white shooters are, like Ryan Anderson and JJ Redick, or Boyan Bogdanovic for that matter. Power forwards. There's a lot of uncertainty here. Dragan Bender and Marquise Chris. 35 for Bender, 45 for Chris. Chris clearly has the higher fantasy upside, so he'd be a guy I'd look at in a tournament. He played more minutes than Bender in the last game, but it's a really unknown situation. Whereas Porzingis at 9,400, it's very expensive for Kristaps. Tournament only, I wouldn't feel great about using him in cash. At center, Cantor at 58, massive boost if Porzingis is out. While Tyson Chandler, he was limited with fouls, so at 4,200, maybe you can use him. I think the upside is not all that high. While Alex Len at 44, I feel pretty good about Len getting 4,000. No, I don't, not getting 4,000 points, but him getting 20 points pretty much most games at this point. Kylo Quinn, which cock are you going to get, the 43-pointer or the 4-pointer? That's the thing, we just don't know. Worth a tournament squeeze if Kristaps is out. While Bill Hernan Gomez at 3,000, maybe again, if Porzingis is out, you could have a look at using Willie over there. Let's have a look at how things shake out for that game over on DraftKings. A lot of tournament guys here. Bender, Chris, Mike James, Porzingis, Cantor, but he sort of converts to cash if Porzingis is out. Hardaway, Tyson Chandler, and Ntilikina. Whereas cash plays, we've got Courtney Lee, TJ Warren, and Devin Booker as options over on DraftKings as well. Let's now go onto the next game. It is the New Orleans Pelicans and the Dallas Mavericks. The Pels are favored by 4.5, and the total is 213 points here. The only injury of real note is Dorian Finney-Smith is doubtful, but he was doubtful to even play anyway, so I wouldn't be caring too much about that. At point guard, we have JJ Barea and Jameer Nelson, a couple of cheap options with okay upside. I wouldn't be getting too interested in those guys. While Dennis Smith at 56 looked a little bit better in the last game, I think that he's a GPP play, but not cash. Jrue Holiday at 72, I'm not feeling strong about. Same with Ian Clark. At shooting guard, Wesley Wes Matthews at 4,800. No. Devin Harris, who was the starter in the last game, he had 19 points. And at 3,800, if you're going to start and get 19 points, well, I'm okay with using that. But we need to know that he's going to start, of course. Well, Etuan Moore at 4,400, just, yeah, that's a no from me. Small forward, the pencil, Harrison Barnes, 6,100. I like it for cash. I'm not really big on his upside. Dante Cunningham, I'm not big on anything about him. Nor with Tone Allen or Darius Miller. At power forward, it gets interesting because Dirk Nowitzki's here at 5,200. But in a matchup where Dirk's got to try and guard Boogie or Anthony Davis, it could get ugly, like, real, real quickly. As for Tone Davis, 11,800. Yep, let's go, Tone. We are all in there. And I think Dwight Powell is an interesting tournament guy because if Dirk gets killed, which is a real possibility, Powell could find some extra minutes and could easily get 25 points, which at his salary is worth a squiz. At center, Boog. He just dropped 74 casually in the last game. He's at 12,000. I'm happy to go back to him in this matchup against the Pels. Nerlens Noel at 4,000. He's averaging a robust 9 points over his last 3 games in 20 minutes. At some point, the defensive numbers will come, maybe, but you obviously can't have any faith in that happening. While Salah Mejri is another guy who could get some minutes when Noel rack up the fouls. He's at $3,000, but yeah, no, I don't really feel too much about Salah in this matchup over on DraftKings. GPP guys, Devin Harris, Jrue Holiday, Dwight Powell, and Nerlens is in cash. We've got Dennis Smith, Harrison Barnes, the pencil, Boogie, and Anthony Davis. Let's go on to the next one now. We are looking at the Charlotte Hornets and the San Antonio Spurs. The Spurs on a back-to-back, they're favored by 3. The total is 199, so a pretty slow-paced game. Michael Kidd-Gilchrist left the last game due to an illness. He is probable, while the other Michael Carter-Williams is questionable to make his season debut. Now, if Carter-Williams does return, it reduces minutes for guys like Trevion Graham and probably the Baconator Dwayne Bacon, because it will push guys like Malik Monk from point guard over to shooting guard more, which then in turn push Jeremy Lamb from the 2 to the 3, and that takes some of those minutes away from guys like Graham and Dwayne Bacon there, who have been getting basically 20 minutes a night for the past couple of weeks. At point guard, DeJounte Murray at 46. Well, we don't know if he's going to start or not, but I won't be interested in using him. Pat Mills, same. While Kemba at 7,900 has... look, it's a bad matchup for Kemba, but on a back-to-back, he's been doing everything he needs to do. I'd feel decently okay about him, but I wouldn't put him as my number one point guard on the board or anything like that. At shooting guard, Manu's at 37, a candidate to be rested here, so probably wouldn't look there. Dan Green at 5,000 is not interesting. While Brandon Paul at 33, Maybe. He had 1 point today, but I think he can be better than that against the Hornets. And I think 15 points is not an unrealistic expectation. Well, Jeremy Lamb at 6,100. The shine has fallen off Lamb a little bit. The matchup is not one that I like, so I'll fade that. While Malik Monk is a tournament type of player. At small forward, Kid Gilchrist, no. Kyle Anderson, massive from Ando today. He is at 4,800, but he's very up and down, so I'm not really feeling that one as a great one. Well, Rudy Gay at 5,100. I think there is some cash value in Gay at 5,100 in this matchup specifically. At power forward, Frank the Tank Kaminsky is down to 4,500. With Cody Zeller back, it's nullified Kaminsky's impact, so I'll probably fade him here. And we've got LaMarcus Aldridge at 81, which I think is strong. And Marv Williams at 4,700, who's been okay, but I just think there's limited upside for Marv, so I'll probably fade him as well. Dwighty Howard at 7,500. Pau Gasol's going to have the challenge there of dealing with Dwight. At 7,500, I think that Dwight's a decent chance to get to that, so I think he's a pretty good play there. While Zeller at 4,000 and Gasol at 61, neither of those guys really get me turned on. The DraftKings situation here, I've got Patty Mills, Kyle Anderson, Marvin Williams, and Brandon Paul as some tournament options, while Dwight, Kemba, and LaMarcus are more of my cash plays from this game. Let's move on to the next one. We have got the Miami Heat taking on the Denver Nuggets in Denver. The Nuggets are favored by 5, and the total is 214 points. Jimmy Johnson is going to be back, maybe to save us. Jim's going to be back, so it's going to be interesting to see how they run that front court rotation. It's probably going to confuse things a little bit in terms of the minutes for a lot of these guys, so that is something to pay attention to. Let's look at the point guard battle. The Blue Arrow, Jamal Murray, 5,500, been putting up some really good numbers, but I don't have full confidence in relying upon him in cash at that sort of a price. The Iron Shoulder, Goran Dragic, 6,800, I think that's pretty good for cash, while Tyler Johnson had a big game in the last one, 27 points, he's at 4,100. I just don't fully rely upon him, and I can't get behind that. Manny Moutier at 4,500. He's been putting up big numbers in his backup role. I'm okay with using Manny, more of a tournament guy, but 32 in the last game, even with the Blue Arrow going off. I think he's got some value. At shooting guard, Gaz Harris, 5,700. I think he's going to be pretty nice here. I think that we're looking at a 27, 28 point performance, and that's really decent for cash. Deion Wade is at 63, is probably a little bit too expensive, but he's been on fire. I'm just not 100% locked in on him. Farton Will Barton at 52 is more of a tournament player, as is the Duke, Wayne Ellington. At small forward, Joshy Richardson at 4,400. The price is tumbling, the performances are tumbling, so I'm in as a tournament option here for Joshy. Baby Neck Wilson Chandler, that's not happening there for me. Well, Justice Winslow the same. At power forward, Jim Johnson, 6,200. Just too many bodies. Is Okoro White going to play? Is Bam going to play? Is Olynyk? Is Whiteside? Is Johnson? That's 5 guys for those positions. How is Spoelstra going to run it? And we're also in Denver. The high altitude might limit these guys' minutes. So, Jim, sorry, mate, I am out on you. Especially at that sort of a price. Paulie Millsap at 7,200. The numbers have been getting back there for Millsap, especially at that salary. So I think he is a pretty decent play. While Ken Fareed and Kelly Olynyk are guys that I'm not really keen on. Hassan's at 9,000. Hassan Whiteside, I think he can have a pretty decent performance. A 40-plus is definitely within reach for Whiteside. So I think he's okay for cash. While Nikola Jokic at 9,300. I'd prefer Whiteside, to be honest. Save that $300. And just not quite sold on Jokic in this matchup against White. So that's more matchup-based than anything, though. As for Bam Adebayo at 3,400, I don't really see the appeal. Not there is any appeal. Let's have a look on DraftKings tournament guys. We've got the Blue Arrow and Deion Waiters. For cash, we've got Hassan, we've got Gaz, you got Paulie Millsap and the Iron Shoulder, Goran Dragic as being some decent options there. Let's move on to the next game. We're going to be looking at the Toronto Raptors, fresh off their disappointment in Denver. They are now heading to Utah. The Jazz are favored by 1.5, and the total is the lowest of the day, 196. So this is not the game that you want to try and stack in most cases. At point guard, we're looking at, of course, Kyle Lowry, who's at 6,800 on FanDuel. He's got a really good record against the Jazz. Now the problem is that Ravishing Rick Rubio is going to be on him, so that's a defensive upgrade over George Hill. But I still think at that price that Lowry has a level of value. As for Ravishing Rick, he is at 7,800, crushing it. 40 points in the last one, but that price, it really takes the value away, so I'm probably going to fade Rick at that sort of a salary. DeLon was back in the last game, 23 at 4,000, but was that a factor as the blowout, or was he fully back to getting those rotation minutes? I guess we'll find out at some point. At shooting guard, Rocket Rodney Hood at 4,800 really stunk in the last game, but had been pretty good before that, tournaments only for Rocket, while DeMar DeRozan at 76 I think is a strong cash play. Norm Powell also a tournament play along with Don Mitchell. At small forward, OG Anunoby, 3,500. I don't hate it for cash. The minutes are there for OG. He's putting up okay numbers. I don't think there's a terribly high upside, but I don't hate it. I like Tabo a lot. Tabo Sefolosha, 3,800. He had 40 in the last game. He played 28 minutes, and that's the most important thing, is getting those Joe Johnson minutes makes Tabo an interesting cash play. Same with Jingle and Joe. At 5,400. At power forward, Derek Favors, I'll fade that. Serge Ibaka, I will fade that also. And Jonas Jerebko, who will get some minutes. He put up actually 19 points in that first game, so maybe in a tournament his ownership will be 0%, but yeah, I'm not really that keen there. Rude Gobert, 8,400 for Rude. Probably a little bit too high. The Raptors are a decent defense, slower pace. I just don't love that for Gobert. As for Valanciunas, hate it. Yeah, going against Gobert is never a good situation for most people. But Valanciunas has got a decent record. He's averaging 28 the last three times against Utah in only 24 minutes. And at 5,300, that might appeal. But he only played like 12 minutes in the last game. So I'm not getting super excited about using Jonas Valanciunas one game back after his ankle injury. For DraftKings, if we look at tournament plays, I like Anunoby a lot at 3,000, Norm Powell and Don Mitchell. For cash, DeRozan, Rubio at 7,300, much better on DraftKings. Jingle and Joe and Tabo have some value over on DraftKings. We've got two games to go now. Let's look at the Boston Celtics and the Oklahoma City Thunder. The Thunder are favored by 5.5, and the total is 205. We need to check the status of Marcus Morris. Markeith is going to be back. Marcus, we don't know. If Marcus does return, it reduces the minutes of Daniel Tice, Semi Ojeleye. I don't think it's going to impact Jason Tatum too much or Jaylen Brown. It's more going to be on Tice and Ojeleye that the big issue will be. There's a lot of guys that I do like in this one. Russ Westbrook, 10,600. I think that's strong for cash. I think there's definite tournament upside there with Russ also. You've got Kyrie Irving at 8,400, who I'd look as more of a tournament guy without having a really safe cash floor at that sort of salary, but I like him for tournaments. You've also got Fat Face Ray Felton at 3,700, which is not bad for cash. I reckon you can get 20 out of Ray, and that's not a bad cash return there. At shooting guard, Marcus Smart, 5,700, only a tournament at this point. He's struggling a little bit. Andre Robertson shouldn't have any interest, or you shouldn't have any interest in Rob there, while Terry Rozier at 43, no thanks, Tezza. At small forward, Paulie George, 76, in. Jaylen Brown, 5,400, also in. Joshy Huestis, clearly out. At power forward, Jason Tatum at 55, more of a tournament guy here for Tatum, I think. Well, we've got Mallo at 74, which I actually think is not a bad cash play there. While Jeremy Grant at 44, crushing it, averaging 26 over his last three grandy. I think that you can have a look at Jez here and maybe even use him in cash if you're just looking for that cheap guy to get your 24 or 25. I think that Jeremy could be that player. Daniel Tice likely have his minutes reduced with Morris returning, and I wouldn't be using Morris, clearly. Steve Adams, 6,800, been putting up good numbers. Yeah, should be able to feast rebound-wise against the Celtics. I like Adams there at 6,800, while Al Horford at 68 also. I think he's a strong play. Get his assists. His rebounds have been pretty decent so far this season. I think that Big Al is worth a look for the Celtics. Not really all that interested in Bainsey, although a Bainsey-Steve Adams matchup would be an interesting one. On DraftKings, the tournament players, Jeremy Grant, Jason Tatum, Kyrie, and Jaylen. I think Brown's a lot higher priced on DraftKings. For cash, it's Steve Adams, Paulie George, Russ, and Mallo having some levels of value over there on DraftKings. Let's go on to the last game of the night now. We have got the Brooklyn Nets and the LA Lakers, the return of D'Angelo Russell and Tim Mozgov to LA. So it'll be interesting to see how that actually pans out. Brook Lopez against his former team as well. Interesting to see the type of reception that Russell gets. I reckon he'll get cheered. I'm sure he'll get cheered in LA, but I guess we'll find out. The Lakers favored by 2.5 and the total 224 points. Jarrett Allen missed the last game. It's not a serious issue with his foot, but the Nets were being cautious as they do. If he misses, then Tyler Zeller gets those minutes because Quincy Acey has already been ruled out. At point guard, Lonzo's at 7,500. only for tournaments. Maybe he wants to prove something against D'Angelo, but he was shit house today. I can't see spending $7,500 being a good investment for him. Spencer Dinwiddie at $5,300. I think that's a strong cash play. He'll play some of those minutes next to D'Angelo as well. As for D'Angelo, he's a shooting guard, so we'll get onto him now. $7,500. I'm in. I think you got a real chance of a 50 here from D'Angelo. Jordy Clarkson at 39. That's real cheap. And I think at 3,900, you should be able to get 20 out of Jordy Clarkson. Caris LeVert at 51 is a tournament type of guy. And KCP, he's JJ Redick, but in a Lakers uniform. So you can have a look at him for $5,000 as a tournament guy. Small forwards, we have got the blue swimmer, Alan Crabb, 3,900. Also only ever tournament. He's sucking at the moment. I wouldn't be getting too interested there. I like Brandon Ingram at 5,900. I think there's some solid value there. While Damari Carroll at 56 is also a pretty strong play, in my opinion. At power forward, Julius Randle and Kyle Kuzma, both at 4,700. If I had to take one, I would probably take Kuzma because I think he'll play more minutes, but both of these guys are in a brilliant, brilliant situation, and putting them, if you had a lineup without both in as power forwards, I could totally see that lineup working. On the net side of things, I am strong on Rondae Hollis-Jefferson as well as a power forward. At center, Brooke Lopez, revenge game, more minutes available, $5,200 for Brook. In on him. More tournament, but I am in on you using him. Well, Tim Mozgov and Jarrett Allen, they aren't really getting it done for me. Let's have a look on DraftKings, how things shake out. LeVert, Ball, the Blue Swimmer, and KCP are all tournament guys, whereas the cash plays Randall Kuzma, Hollis Jefferson, Jordy Clarkson, and Damari Carroll, with Brook Lopez being more of a tournament guy as well, and I just forgot to mention him. All right, let's take a look at the other sites that we just have a quick skip over for DFS. We talk Yahoo first, the guys that I like. I like Frankie Ntilikina, John Henson, the Muppet, Domantas Sabonis, Ballinelli, Lee, Kuzma, Chrissy Dunn. They're all some cash plays. Same with Brogo, Spencer Dinwiddie, Lauri Markkanen, Ingram, TJ McConnell, Rondé, and then you get to the more expensive guys like Joel Embiid, Nikola Vucevic, Hassan Whiteside, John Wall, Jim Harden, Jokic, and Boog have some value there. We're looking at tournament plays on Yahoo. I like the upside of guys like Kyle Anderson, The Undertaker, Terry Ross, Moore, Redick, Nwaba, The Blue Arrow, The Blue Swimmer, Devin Harris, Mike Muscala, Bogdanovic, Boyan, Rocket Rodney Hood, Don Mitchell, Cody Zeller, Julius Randle, who's much more expensive on Yahoo. That's why I'm not locking him in as a cash guy. Norm and Dwight Powell. On Moneyball, GPPs, we've got Frank Ntilikina, Terry Ross, Muscala, Crowder, Devin Harris, Jezza Grant, Lonzo, Trevor Reza, The Blue Arrow, Drummond, Mike James, Nwaba, Bob Cove, Dennis Smith Jr. There's some of your tournament options. If you want to have a look at the cash plays, we've got Julius Randle and Kuzma, of course, Embiid and Dunn, Vucevic, McConnell, Beal, Hardaway, TJ Warren, Johnny Wall, Sabonis, The Pencil, The Muppet, John Henson, Rondae Hollis-Jefferson, Dwight Howard, Malcolm Brogdon, Tarbo, Aaron Gordon, Taurean Prince, Lauri Markkanen, Jim Harden, and Boog Cousins. And to wrap things up on Draft Stars for some tournament guys, Jarrett Jack, Jameer Nelson, Frank Ntilikina, your trio of cheap point guards, Mike Muscala, Devin Harris, Brandon Paul, Pat Mills, Terry Ross, Bob Cove, Moore, Mirza Teletovic, Jumpin' Jay Crowder. And we look at some cash plays. You've got TJ McConnell, Nwaba, Kyle Anderson, Mike James, Julius Randle, Jeff Green, The Muppet John Henson, Domantas Sabonis, Brogdon, Kuzma, Eric Gordon, Tyson Chandler, Dwight Howard, Ballinelli, Vooch, Drummond, Dinwiddie, Lauri Markkanen, and Johnny Wall, Rondé, Joel Embiid, Beal, The Pencil, Adams, Jim Harden, Toby, and rounding it out with Yanni Adetokounmpo. That does it for another week of the Locked On Fantasy Basketball Podcast. Check out our sponsor for the week, which of course is Draft. Go to draft.com and use that promo code LOFANTASY. Get yourself an entry into a free contest and check out the rest of the Locked On Podcast Network as well. If you are on YouTube, hopefully this is back up on YouTube. Give it a subscription, give it a thumbs up, leave a comment. And for other people listening audio, go and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, TuneIn, Stitcher, and Spotify, and leave a review. It is a fantastic way that you can help the show out. Good luck with your DFS. Good luck with your seasonal leagues. Shout out to Anthony from Visca for his song today, Game. We are done here, guys. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya. cut Mills.